Ladies and gentlemen, life begins with God. God is the originator of life. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was also in the beginning with Him. By Him was not anything made that was made." And then it says, "In Him was life," in verse number 4. "And the life was the light of men." Genesis 2:7 tells us that God made man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Amen. Go over to Psalm chapter 139, the book of Psalms, chapter 139. We'll do a little traveling tonight in our Bible. Life begins with God. Psalm chapter 139, look at verse number 13. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." I like to go out and read this passage across from a certain place on Michigan Avenue, right across from JCPenney's. And it's not Los Tres Amigos. It's a place called Planned Parenthood. "For I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned." You know, from conception, that's a life. And in continuance, it's fashioned. Amen. "When as yet there was none of them, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Life begins with God. He is the author of life. But can we say this? Physical life outside of the womb begins with a birth. As we went in yesterday and met little Caden Thomas Gilbert, we knew there was a specific time when he was born, and that life outside the womb begins with a birth. Can we say this? Spiritual life begins with a second birth. Jesus said to a very religious man in John chapter 3, "Ye must be born again." He didn't say, "It'd be nice if you got born again." He didn't say, "Getting born again would keep you from a lot of sin." He didn't say, "You ought to be born again." He said, "You must be born again." It's an imperative. Amen. Spiritual life begins with birth. And where there is life, it is natural to expect growth. Where there's life, it is natural to expect growth. You go down to the greenhouse or the florist and you say, "I want some tomato plants." And you know that within those little seeds there is life. And oh, what a dissertation for God, just one little seed. And God said the seed has the life within itself. So good. I'm so glad I have a Bible, amen, that tells me that. But you go and you plant those seeds and you water them and you till up that soil and you do everything. I'm going to tell you, in a couple of weeks, you expect to see some sort of growth. Even just a little shoot sticking out of the ground. Amen? It's natural. You plant flowers, you expect to see them grow. You plant trees. I remember years ago, there was a man in our town, we thought he was nuts. He bought, I think, 500 yards right off the street that my parents lived off of, the main street. Bought 500 yards of ground, and Brother Boston, he planted apple trees. You know, apple trees don't just grow right away. Amen? I mean, it was 1, 2, 5, 10 years. But you know, every year, it grew a little bit more. See, because it's natural, folks. I'm thinking about a child. One of our ladies came in today, and I was just telling her about this message as I was preparing it. I said, you know, when a child comes out, they're 7, 8 pounds, and God bless you ladies, amen. But aren't you glad that the natural growth takes place in the order it does? Moms, how'd you like it if you gave birth to a 54-pound baby? I don't think you'd like it very much, amen. I know I wouldn't like it, amen. There's a process of growth. By the way, have you ever seen a child whose growth is stunted? I'm thinking of a family that Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa and I know. Sweet family back in our home church in Holyoke, Massachusetts. These beautiful Puerto Rican young ladies. When we met them, they were, oh my goodness, I think 14, 13, and 12. And they call me dad. One of them calls me father, amen, just to kind of joke with me. And that, I call them my dark children. I said, they're my children of darkness, amen. They're all Puerto Rican. They're caramel colored, dark chocolate colored. And they have a little brother. He's not so little anymore. He's 13. And he had a procedure done when he was just born that many babies have had done, but it got botched. And it, listen folks, he ended up contracting meningitis. And it was the worst possible kind you could contract. It basically boiled his brain. And that little boy is 13 today. He can't see. He can hear. He can touch. He can't speak. He'll sit, he'll lay on the floor, they take good care of him, but he just kind of moan, but I've always struck Pastor Donald, and I told Pastor Donald about this today, about his legs, because he's never used them. They're so small. And you know what it is when I'm reminded of that? It's unnatural. You see, folks, to have life without growth is unnatural. It's unnatural. And I think many so-called professing Christians don't grow because they don't have any life. See, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of people that sit in churches every week that are not saved. And that's why they don't grow. Because there is no life abiding in them. Growth follows life. Can we say this? Just a couple Bible examples. God expects growth. Can I say this? God demands growth. What did he say right here? Did he say, it'd be nice if you grew in grace? He said, grow in grace. Grow. Say, how do you know that God demands growth, Pastor? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? No fruit, which would be a product of growth. A couple months ago, we had stewardship month, and every Sunday morning we read about three servants. One was given 5 talents. And he grew his 5 talents by 5 talents. And what did Jesus say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then we were introduced to a man who was given 2 talents. And he grew his by 2 talents. And Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then we were introduced to a man who got 1 talent and buried it in the sand. And the Lord was angry with him. Why? Because he didn't use what he had and didn't grow. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God expects growth. Grow in grace, our text tells us. Let me give you just 3 points tonight, a lot of sub-points. Hope this message will be a help to you. First of all, number one, the meaning of growth. The meaning of growth. What does it mean, Pastor, to grow in grace? Well, let me do this. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, if you're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you'll become more saved. You know why? Because if you're truly saved, you're as saved as you're ever going to be. Amen? If you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you know there are skin of the teeth Christians that'll be in heaven? You know why? Not because they grew, because they got saved. Because I always think of this, and please, young people, this is not the man you want to model your life after, but if you want the example of the skin of the teeth Christian, his name is Lot. You show me one good thing in the Old Testament that Lot did, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $100. You know why I can make that offer? Because there ain't one. Forgive my grammar, amen? There's not one good thing in the Old Testament that Lot did. Not one! But you read in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 2, just a page over, it tells you that he vexed his righteous soul daily. He was just and righteous. So what does it mean to grow in grace, Pastor? It doesn't mean to become more saved. It doesn't mean you'll be more justified. It doesn't mean you'll be more redeemed. Brother Boston, it doesn't mean that you'll be more indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Because you've got all the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to have. You've got it. So, Pastor, what does it mean? It's found in the book of Romans chapter 8. Go there with me if you would. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. What does it mean to grow in grace, Pastor? What's the meaning of growth, Pastor? Look at verse number 28. Oh, we love this verse. I love this verse. I don't know if you do. I love this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen, church. Thank God for that verse. Amen. But verse 29 is where I believe we get the definition of what it is to grow in grace. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to go to hell. Is that what it says in your Bible? By the way, don't ever let anybody take that verse and tell you that God predestines people for heaven and hell. That is not what that verse says. What are Christians predestinated to do? To be conformed into the image of His Son. Pastor, what is it to grow in grace? I'll tell you exactly what the meaning of growth is. It is to be more like Jesus. It's to be more like Jesus. Growing in grace. More like Jesus, just a few ways that we could think, obviously. More like Jesus in thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What was the mind of Christ? It's in the verse right before, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Was Jesus concerned about Himself? No. No. And you know, if we're going to grow in grace, we're going to have to think like Jesus thinks. We're going to have to think not of ourselves and all God's people said, but others. Consider others, amen. Not only in our thought life, not only in thought, but in word. Becoming more like Christ in word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Ought to be more like Christ in our speech. In another place in Colossians, it tells us to always let our speech be seasoned with salt. Just like Jesus. Be like Jesus in our speech. Be like Him in our thought. Be like Him indeed. 1 Peter 2:21 tells us to follow His steps. You know the song. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Trying to follow our Savior and King. Living my life by His blessed example. Happy, how happy His praises I sing. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. stepping in the light. Stepping in the light. What's the meaning of growth, Pastor? It's becoming more like Christ. It's becoming conformed into the image of His Son. Secondly, not only the meaning of growth, but how about the methods of growth? What does God use in our lives to grow us? Well, some of them I like, some of them I don't like. But whether I like it or not doesn't matter. If it comes from God, all things work together for good. Well, what's the first thing He uses? Well, I think the first thing that God uses to grow us is the Word of God. The Word of God. A steady diet of the Word of God will help a Christian to grow and grow properly. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." How important it is, ladies and gentlemen, that we read the Word of God and grow. Listen, I saw that little baby yesterday take his first bite. That stuff is just so great to me, amen. I see my kids now, and they're small to some of you, but boy, they seem like giants compared to that little baby. And there he was, and Jen's mom, and they came in with this little bottle, and they said, "Now, he can only have 1 ounce now." And boy, I saw that baby. Now, of course, they can't see anything, you know, but they're just looking, and she got that bottle close, and he just started eating it up. And that ounce went down in about 10 seconds. Amen, Pastor Donald. You know why? Because it's natural for a baby to want to eat. You know what? It's natural. It's natural. If the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, it's natural for us to want to eat. Amen. It's a method that God uses to grow us. Can I give you another method He uses? Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Like the first one a lot. Don't like the second one near as much. Some of you know right what passage I'm turning to. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 3. "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." You know, sometimes I read that and I want to say, "Hey, Paul, speak for yourself." Amen. How do you say, "Oh, I just glory in trials and tribulations. I just absolutely jump up and down and say, glory to God, I'm going through the fire." Well, maybe you've attained that level of sanctification, but I haven't yet. Amen. What's it say there? "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." What's going on there? It starts with tribulation or trials, and there's a growing process. By the way, every trial that comes into your life has passed by the desk of God. See, I don't like that. I don't like it either. But God knows a whole lot more than all of us put together. And if He sees fit to bring a trial into your life, my life, our church, God knows. Amen? And He wants to grow us through trials. Well, I'm going to do this, but I think I should. Amen? Folks, I have lost so much weight over the last 2 months that all of my pants are doing this. I mean, it's just get a whole fist in there. I'm not growing outwards, but God has grown me through this trial. God has done a wonderful work in my life, and I give Him praise for it. By the way, Brother McGee, I give Him praise on the backside of the storm. I tried to praise Him in the middle of the storm, but sometimes the Holy Spirit had to give me groanings which cannot be uttered, because I didn't know how to pray or what to pray. You see, God will use not only the Word of God, but He'll use troubles and trials in our lives. It's a method He uses to grow us. And listen, it's hard. It's easy preaching and hard living, but Listen, don't balk at the trial. Don't raise your fist to God. He's doing something. He's doing something. Let me give you another one. He used the meaning of growth and the methods of growth. The Word of God troubles private devotions. Private devotions God will use to grow us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in its law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. You know, to bring forth fruit, there's got to be growth. You see, God will do more for you in 5 minutes of devotions than He will from 30 in reading the newspaper or watching Fox News or whatever you do for a half an hour. This morning, as I sat at my dining room table, I read John chapter 5. And Brother Leonard, I have read John chapter 5 I don't know how many times. A lot. And I read a verse that absolutely jumped off the page. It was not a deep verse, and I don't want to spoil it because you folks are going to get it here in I don't know when, maybe sometime in June or July. It was just a simple verse, John 5:3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Brother Boston, I've read that verse tons of times. And because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and because that book is alive, it's quick and powerful, it means it's living, God showed me something. He said, you know what? There's still a whole lot of people all over that are waiting for the moving of the water. And I'm just wetting your whistle, but you know what? We need to move the water from here out to there. There's a whole lot of people waiting for them. Listen, God does that. God grows us in our private devotion time. Let me give you another one. God grows us through public worship of Him. Gathering together as He commands. Singing the songs of Zion. Fellowshipping, praising His name. Saying amen when the preacher preaches. Thank you, amen. Here's another way He'll grow us. And again, this one is, our flesh doesn't like it, but it's a good one. God will grow us by serving others. Jesus did that His whole life. And then at the very end, in ways that still a mystery to mortal man, when He came and He washed the disciples' feet. He's the King of Kings, folks. The one angels adored. And then not only did he do that, but then He went into the garden and He took the sins of the world of all time on Him, began to sweat great drops of blood. Why? For others. The words would fail us to talk about the cross. Why did He go to the cross? Serving others. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. How about fellowship is a method of growth? I cannot tell you, and I've tried to articulate this. There are two couples, both of whom today are completely out of church. They're completely out of church. Their lives are in shambles. Both couples divorced. Terrible situation. I want to tell you something, Brother Kraft. These two couples, 16 years ago at Mountain View Baptist Church, took my wife and I under their wing and fellowshiped with us. They said, on Sunday night, just come over to our house after church. We'll have some ice cream. We'll fellowship together. Both of these couples did that. And though their lives are a mess and though they're out of church, Brother Horsch, I'm eternally grateful for what they did for us. And listen, folks, we've got some young couples here who we need to tap into and fellowship with. Need to have some couples over to you. I need to have some single folks over to your house. People that maybe don't have a lot of fellowship. Listen, fellowship will help us to grow. And you know what it does? It bonds us. It bonds us. Let me give you a last method God will use. God will use friendship to grow you. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "So as iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friend." God will grow you through a good, godly friend. How many of you have experienced that in your life? You've grown closer to the Lord because of a friend. And could we say the opposite of well as well, folks? How many folks have not grown because of a friend? Oh, mercy. So the meaning of growth. We have the methods of growth. Lastly, let me give you the measure of growth. How do we measure the fact that whether we're growing or not? Well, let me just tell you a couple of negatives. We do not measure our growth by the outside. That's Phariseeism. Now listen, folks, I'm for dressing right when you come to church. I'm for looking right. Fellas, I'm for dressing sharp. You ought to wear a tie to the house of God. If you're going to meet the President of the United States, you dress up. You're going to meet the King of Kings every service. You ought to look right. Amen, amen. Ladies ought to look right. I'm not against any of that. But I want to tell you, Judas looked real good on the outside. And he was as dead as last year's bird's nest. So it's not just sprucing up the outside. Secondly, it's not comparing ourselves to each other. That is not an accurate measurement of growth. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just one verse there. It's a verse you ought to mark it. Second Corinthians 10. Verse 12. "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." You see, because though I think young people ought to look up to adults in the church, and they ought to look up to their Sunday school teacher, and they ought to look up to their bus workers, and they ought to look up to their youth pastor, and they ought to look up to their pastor, we are not the standard. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says. Let me give you five measurings of growth. Five ways to measure growth. First one, appetite for the Word of God. Appetite for the Word of God. Job 23:12, Job said, "I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food." Not the extra food that we all like, the necessary food. It says not only in Job there, but also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." You show me somebody who has an appetite for the Word of God, and I'll show you someone who by default, because this is the Word of God, will grow. It's a measurement of growth. Oh, I'm not talking about do you read 90 chapters a day? Oh, no. No, that's, I'm glad if you do, amen. But you still got to go to your job. Amen. Still got to do all the other things. That, I'm talking about do you have a desire every day to just get along with God and read His Word? You have an appetite for that. An appetite for the Word of God. Secondly, a measuring stick of growth is affection or love. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And then we'll go over to chapter 4. Talking about growth here tonight, folks. And God commands us to grow in grace. Look at verse number 12. in the Lord make you to, what's the next word? Would you say that means grow? If your salary increased, would your salary have grown? Sure. And what does it say there? It said, the Lord make you to increase, not only to increase, and abound in love one toward another and toward all men as we do toward you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Just a page over. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. What's the measurement of growth? Appetite for the Word of God, love. Love for the brethren, first. And then love for sinners, too. Paul was careful to say, yes, it's good that we love each other, but love all men. You know what? There are some very, very unlovely sinners that need you to love them. Say, how do you know? Because I was one of them 17 years ago. I needed a Christian to love me. I needed a Christian to have compassion on my soul. And if some have compassion, making a difference. See, what's a measurement of growth? Appetite for the Word of God. Love for the brethren and for sinners. Let me give you another one. Number three, faith. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 1. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or proper, amen, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Hey, an appetite for the Word of God is a measuring stick for growth. An attitude of affection, love of the brethren is a measuring stick for growth. Number three, faith, increasing in faith. Hey, you know what? God is so good to us. When we first get saved, we've just got this little tiny faith. It's in Romans 12:3. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. There's enough faith in every man before it gets educated out of him to trust Christ. But aren't you glad? You know, I thought about as everybody came and dropped their cards in on Sunday. I'm glad that my faith has increased since I put my first missions card in the offering plate all those years ago. Aren't you glad that your faith has increased? Do you trust Him more today than you did 5 years ago? That means you're growing. You're increasing in your faith. Another measuring stick. Go over to Colossians just a few pages back. Colossians chapter 1. Appetite for the Word of God. Love for the brethren and for sinners. Faith. Number 4. Under the measure of growth. Colossians 1:10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, or we would say, growing, in the knowledge of God. We should grow in our knowledge of God. And obviously that goes back to the Word of God. But there's a verse, Brother Sousa talked about it last week, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and all God's people said. But do we say amen to the comma? And the fellowship of His sufferings. Being made conformable unto His death. Growing in knowledge. By the way, it's why you ought to be in church. Why you ought to be in Sunday school. What am I telling you for? It's why you ought to be here on Wednesday night. Because you grow in knowledge of the Lord, and knowledge of His Word, and knowledge of His will. Amen. Knowledge. Let me give you another one. Last sub-point here. You'll grow in a desire for holiness. You'll grow in a desire for holiness. That's a measuring stick. Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Oh, I don't mean we'll always be holy. The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. By the way, don't you dare use that as an excuse to sin. Simply a fact of the Bible. We've still got flesh. But you know what? We ought to be desiring to be more holy. I was talking to a lady again in our church today. We stopped just having a conversation. We're talking about the second coming. By the way, the blessed hope is an inspiration and ought to be to holiness. Every man that hath this hope of in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, 1 John 3:3 says. 1 John 2:28 says this, and little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed of him at his coming. I said to this woman, I said, if I only had one reason, and I've got about 100 folks, if I only had one reason why I would never go to a movie theater, it would be that verse. Here I am sitting in the devil's den where all the junk and garbage that comes out of Hollywood, I'll just keep my ear bent. You can say amen anytime you want. And I'm sitting there and I sit down and something comes on that I ought not to see, or something comes through my ears that ought not to be heard by a Christian, and the Lord comes back. And I meet Him. And I do this. Why? Because I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. You know, if you really have life in you, and you want to measure your growth, ask yourself, do I really desire to be holy? Do I really desire to allow God to conform me into His holiness? No, when you get a glimpse of God and who He really is, you'll see Him as holy. Isaiah 6 says, I saw the Lord high, holy, and lifted up. What did Isaiah say? Woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a land of unclean people. Why? Because he saw God for who He is, holy. Boy, I'll tell you, if there's life in us, we'll desire to be holy. By the way, it doesn't mean we're perfect. Amen? Please, somebody say amen. It doesn't mean we'll be perfect, but there's a desire in there. So here's my question to you tonight, and we'll just close. We looked at the meaning of growth. It means to be more like Jesus. The methods of growth. He uses the Word of God. He used trials. He used private devotions, public worship, serving others, fellowship, friendship. And the measure of growth. What is the measure of growth? Appetite for the Word of God, love for the brethren and for sinners, faith, knowledge, desire for holiness. Here's the question. Are you growing? Are you growing? See, Brother Sousa made this illustration last week. He said, salvation is not like riding a bike. God doesn't put us on and tell us, you know, to go and make it to the end. No, He brings us all the way to the end safe and sound. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what is like riding a bike. Growth. You remember when you got on that bike for the first time? Wobble. Eric riding his tricycle the other week, and he still doesn't understand using the front of your foot. He's using the back of his foot, and he can't understand why he can't go. Amen? You get on that two-wheeler for the first time and you're wobbling. You realize the way to keep from wobbling is just build up a little speed and go forward. You can go backward and not grow. Or you can go forward and grow, but I'll tell you what you can't do. You can't stand still. If you're standing still, you're going backward. If you're standing still, you're not growing. Are you backsliding or are you growing? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not growing at the rate I would like. I didn't ask you that. You see, because slow growth is still growth. Hey, some people experience rapid growth. Some people are slow and steady. I've learned that in my years of Christianity. I've seen people that just came out of the gate flying and are still flying today. And you know what? Other people, they're plotters. They read 3 chapters of the Bible a day. And if the Apostle Paul was preaching during their devotion time, they wouldn't go see him. They're going to have their 3 chapters a day. Amen. They just plod along. Here's a question. Are you growing? Are you growing? God says here, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Father,